Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, 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 we're back, we're black, we're brown. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Mandy, and I am so disappointed because last week was Juneteenth and I forgot to mention it. And I even had it in my notes and everything.
My badsies.
Happy Juneteenth to everybody.
What is Juneteenth?
Juneteenth, actually, I believe it was, it used to be specific to the emancipation of slaves in Texas, I believe, but it's almost like it's become this like proxy to celebrate the end of slavery because there was not really an official holiday for that, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's what it's become to symbolize, like, largely is like the end of slavery, and it's like an opportunity just to be black and fabulous and have cookouts, of which I participated in none, so that's a sad – oh, actually, no, I did. We went to the Westchester, get it, where I live.
Westchester.
Westchester is known for – I don't know. I always had this perception of the suburbs of New York as being like where the brown people stop. but I've been pleasantly surprised. Like, our neighborhood is so diverse, and they had the African American Heritage Festival like down the street from us. So it was actually just a – we have this nice little nature path that we can walk – to this like public park where they had the festival, and they had like really good food, and it was nice little surprise.
Okay,
that was my Juneteenth.
Your Juneteenth, big up yourself.
Yeah.
So both of us had you like messaged me. Remember you messaged me like we were talking, I think, like post last podcast about your AC quote. Girl, I just got a quote today, and I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna be hot.
Oh, girl,
they told me $60,000. I was like, am I buying a new house? I'm unsure, like, what?
All right, you know, misery loves company. I'm actually kind of excited that you got a terrible bid too, because when you were telling me your bid was like way less than mine, I was like, meh.
No, it wasn't.
Who does she know?
Well, it was just him, them, like, you know, like our project manager saying that this is what it should be between. And I said, oh, okay. Yeah. So we got such a high bid. I'm like, is that, you know, that doesn't sound right. But like I said, he does commercial. So, you know, I said, I can't wait for him to get back from vacation so I can be like, sir, do you know somebody who will do it for $15,000? That's looking good right about now. Because honestly, We're not going to pay $60,000. We'll just be putting units in the window because this is not a forever house. Yeah. And that's just so much. And that's just AC. Like, we have to get the house rewired, you know? So that's like, that's non-negotiable. So, and I'm assuming that's going to be probably like $20,000-$30,000, but that's just something you have to do unless you want to die in a fury of fire, you know? So
trade-offs.
Yeah, exactly. Oh boy. So yeah, I'm not exactly happy right now. So when he came today, we still have a few more quotes to do, but I'm not feeling all that optimistic.
Listen, forget all these quotes, man. We've gotten so many quotes. So at this point, I'm glad that we've sort of taken our time, but these people out here, I guess the economy is good and they have a lot of jobs and I'm very happy for them and their families, but why can't they return calls and show up when they say they're going to show up? Because it's almost like they're like, oh, you need us more than, you know, we need you. And that is what's been challenging. So anybody out there who's doing a home improvement project, like whether it's small, large, whatever, we are here with you, alongside you.
Yes. That's the only thing that's been kind of helpful. It's nice, like, when I post something on social and someone kind of shows me, like, sends me, like, a video of, like, what they're fixing up. So it's been, like, a nice little knit community of people who are both excited and dismayed by the process.
So dismayed. I'm thinking, like, I think part of my problem is I think I'm always – I think healthily pessimistic about finances in general. I'm always like, well, what if I break my back? And what if, you know, we're kind of planning on the assumption that everything is going to continue going a certain way. And that is where I'm always in with like, but this could happen, kind of like negative Nancy. And I, you know, it's frustrating to my husband because of course he wants, like, I'm kind of bursting his bubble. He loves this whole thing. This is his dream. He's always wanted this. But I mean, I'm happy to be the negative one because I kind of feel like you need that balance. Exactly. At a certain point, you got to stop agonizing about it and just make a decision with the best information that you have. I'm talking to myself here. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm doing that thing where I have a problem and I'm like talking myself out of it.
I do that.
Oh, Lord, just pray.
No, it's true. And also, too, here's the thing that I do like that it's Blue Design. Blue Design and Development, BLU. Like, so our project manager, one of the things that he talked to us about is really understanding price per square foot, you know? And I didn't really get it before. He said, so let's just say, like, I think our house is like 2,250 square feet, right? Like, of livable space, right? And so there is an average price for square foot in like the section that we live in Newark. So if we bought the house for 180 and we put, let's just say $100,000 worth of work into it, then that's, you know, $380,000. And then you divide that by the square foot of the house and then you get your price per square foot. So what he's teaching us is as we make decisions, like, so that way it kind of takes the emotion out of it, how like this is going to increase the you know, like how is it going to affect the price per square foot? Because that's how an investor thinks. And right. So does it make sense? Like, you know, like if we invest $60,000 in the AC, how much of that are we actually going to get back if we sell? You know, are we going to get back $40,000? Now, if we were living here forever, I would for sure, I don't know that I'd pay $60,000, but we'd find a way to get like central air throughout the house. Because I'm like, well, we're going to be living here like forever, like, you know, barring any major emergency. But we know for a fact that this is not our forever house. We literally won't be here. Our plan is between 2 and 5 years maximum. And so it just doesn't make sense to invest that much money because we're just not going to get it back. And when I look around the neighborhood, because that's something I did too, I see now, because I wonder why there's a lot of really beautiful homes, why you don't really see, I don't see that much central air. I see a lot of like units in the window. And I'm like, because these homes are built in like 1920s, a lot of the homes in the area where I'm living. And so I understand now because it just doesn't make financial sense to make that level of investment unless it makes the emotional sense of I'm staying here for like a really long time. And so I'm just like, And so like, I mean,
I think makes perfect sense if you guys are just leaving in a few years. Totally. Listen,
I'm just like, before it used to be like, ooh, because you know, you see on HGTV, they'll be like, oh, this, the property brothers, Reno will, take 7 weeks. What in the lying?
I literally throw my shoe at the television now. I'm like, it's not true.
7 weeks. Like, that's honestly such a lie because
such a lie.
Just waiting for the permit is like a month.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. You know? And so I'm just like, yeah. I mean, before when we first bought, we were like, ooh, you know, we'll be in there in a couple of months. Now I'm just like, please, please, little baby Jesus, can we be in by the end of the year? Like, that is my prayer that by the end of the year that I'll be able to sleep in a bed that is not our apartment. But, you know. But either way, it's ours, right?
We're working like towards it. They say, if you want to make a contractor laugh, make plans. Isn't that how that goes? No? Okay. Listen, we have to talk about this. We have to. I'm demanding it because it really struck my heart, this article in the New York Times that I read over the weekend about how in 2018, women are still like pregnancy discrimination against women in the workplace is still rampant. And the reason this, of course, struck my attention is, I mean, I think it's no secret that you're obviously thinking about starting a family. I know you don't have a traditional job, but I do. And I think about this all the time, not necessarily because I'm trying to get pregnant tomorrow, but I feel like to be a woman, like people just don't understand what it's like. I mean, when you purposefully know you have to plan your career around this, you know, giving, creating life and creating a human. And not only does that change your body dramatically, but then after that, like when the baby is born, understanding that you're only going to be able to spend so much time with it because of your career and trying to plan around that, it's just like, it's almost like you're in it alone as a woman. Like you're, if your employer is not supporting you, and people always talk about, you know, why should we have maternity, you know, why should we pay for maternity benefits for someone who is purposefully, you know, getting pregnant on their own time, you know, not on the workplace or whatever, you know, why should we provide those benefits? It's just astounding to me that in 2018, there's still women who are getting Passover for promotions like this. You have to read this article, Passover for promotions, demoted or just outright fired or laid off the minute they either request maternity leave or let someone know that they're pregnant. Like the most heartbreaking story, this one woman named Otisha, who worked at Walmart, I think in Jacksonville, Florida, she was working in, I think, the bakery or the like the prepared food section. She used to have to lift these heavy boxes, like, all the time as part of her day-to-day work. And her doctor, when she became pregnant with her fourth child, said, you know, because of this pregnancy, you've had pain before, you need to not lift anything more than 20 pounds. And she went to her manager, and the manager said, and this is what she says, her manager says that, I don't know, back in the early 2000s or the 90s, like Demi Moore, that actress, I don't know, she did an interview on like David Letterman when she was really pregnant, and apparently she did gymnastics. So her manager's response to Otisha was, well, Demi Moore is over on TV doing gymnastics while she's pregnant. Like, why can't you lift a box?
That's just so, honestly, so ignorant. Like, to me, it just shows why more women need to be in positions of power in corporate America or otherwise, whether owning a business or whatever, because that doesn't even make any sense. It's so crazy because when we had our, I think it was three women on our team had like babies, literally it was like a baby in November, a baby in December, a baby in January. And I didn't even have like a time frame. I mean, I guess because we're small still, but it was just, we knew it was happening, obviously, because we were all excited. And everybody on the team has a buddy. And the only request was, prep your buddy to be able to take care of your core deliverables. And sometimes it meant like Tamara, who's our manager for the Literature Academy. Tamara has such a big position, so she prepped three people to do her full role. And I didn't give her a time frame. I was like, come on back when you're ready. And I think she was gone for like a month and a half. And she's like, I think I want to come back now. And we were like, okay. I'm sure as I become a bigger company, it'll be a little bit more structured. But it's just so crazy to me that you would request for, like, why should a woman have to choose? Like, you have a mom, right? You're here as a result of your mom somehow making a way to have you. I just don't understand why people don't see the connection between the fact that you have, someone gave birth to you and other people are giving birth as well. And to provide a space for that to happen in a way that doesn't jeopardize them being able to take care of their family.
Well, it's the stigma around becoming pregnant or becoming a mother too, that is what I think does damage, like the stigma. So someone who requests time off because they have childcare gaps or their kid is sick is looked down upon by some employers or some managers more negatively than someone who asked time off because they hurt their back or they got sick over the weekend. Like there's just a stigma around it. Like, oh, you know, they're not as committed. I mean, this article cites a study that shows that for every child a woman has, it takes away 4% of her hourly wages. While men somehow increase their wages by 6% when they become fathers. It just doesn't compute. I don't know. I'm just getting like the error message on a calculator where it's just like 0000000. And it's just, it's sad because you do, I don't know, I'm maybe I'm like crazy, but I want to believe that I can have a great career and have a kid and that it won't, maybe I'm just naive, but I don't want to believe that my choice to start a family would hurt my career, you know, or make people think of me differently. I don't know. There's no women also working above me at my job. My direct manager is a man, an amazing man. Love him. He's great. I don't foresee any issues, but that's everyone. I look at my company, every single one above me, unless you switch over to HR, is a white male. Yep.
Okay.
Like 100%. And, you know, I don't think my two, I know that my direct manager doesn't have kids. And there's not a lot of people on my team who have kids. So I think I might be like a freak of nature. Like when I, you know, finally pop out a kid or something, it's going to be like uncharted territory, I think, for our team. But, I think whether my managers, we haven't obviously discussed it. I don't think it's anything you need to discuss beforehand, but I think about it when I'm laying out my plan a year or two from now, like, do I have someone who can do what I do while I'm away? You know, do we have systems in place where if I were to be gone for a few months, like the whole place wouldn't come crashing down?
Yeah. That systems, that's the part that makes it the, you know, systems and backups make everything possible, you know? So yeah, I remember when Tamara came back, she was like, wow, it's like you guys didn't even need me. I'm like, oh, we always need you because we do. But it was just nice that like everything didn't fall, you know, didn't go to hell in a handbasket because she wasn't there, because she'd done such a good job with training folks, but it didn't mean that we didn't need her. So it was just nice all around to know that, because this is the thing I always say, even for the women that work for me, like our big thing is no one should feel, because we've all felt like this, no one should feel like they're not able to get sick or go on vacation, or, you know, like no one on the team should feel that, like that you have to, like, if I don't do it, what's going to happen? So everyone is, it's mandated you have your backup folks, including me, including my business partner. He just brought on his brother. So we have two guys now. Woo! He just brought on his brother to be his backup, because it was like, no one should feel like, okay, you know, that my presence, I don't care death or not, I must be present. And I think that helps a lot with allowing people to know that, like, one, your job is secure, but, you know, you're able to be a human being. But yeah, I'm glad you brought this up, though, because I think a lot of people are listening like, I wish my job, and there are jobs out there that have that. It's just, they might not be super easy to spot, but there are jobs that allow for that. And that's something you're going to want to ask. In my 20s, I think in your 20s, you know, for the most part, I didn't really think about things like this. It's not until I hit my 30s that I thought about things like insurance and yep, time, you know, time away and that kind of stuff.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost worked there a couple of times, because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Now that we've buzzed you up with our buzzworthy, are you ready to break or boost? I have a really exciting boost. Well, exciting for me.
Okay, go for it.
Well, it's not super exciting. It's just exciting because I'm Nigerian. I just want to say, Super Eagles, don't you worry. So right now the World Cup is going on. And for those of you in the United States, you're like, what's that? Because, you know, you don't watch soccer. But the whole world watches soccer. We're literally like the only country that's not super into soccer. And I'm not going to lie, I'm not super into soccer, but being Nigerian during this time of year when Nigeria plays, because soccer is huge in Africa and Central America and South America and everywhere, honestly. So Nigeria won like last week sometime. They lost today to Argentina 1-2. But I just want to big up the Super Eagles because they, first of all, they got their uniforms. I don't know. Have you seen the pictures, Mandy, of their new uniforms?
Like Nigeria's soccer team?
Yes.
No.
It caused like a
fire. I can't
say
that I have.
Well, it's only because it became this huge thing. So they're by Nike. I can't remember the name of the designer, but they are so like funky fresh, and like they sold out everywhere. And it was like a huge story because it was like Nigeria revealed their new uniforms and they sold out everywhere. People who weren't even into soccer or didn't even, you know, weren't wearing them because they were Nigerian uniforms. They sold out because that's just how like cool they look. And so it was just a huge story that the uniforms that are just amazing, and they are. And so if you have some, it's not easy to get a hold of. But so one, for having the dopest uniform of all the World Cup teams, and for playing your heart out today. Argentina, you played well, obviously. Nigeria, what is it? Nigeria, no de carry last. That just means we never go last, even when we lose. And so, yeah, that's my boost, is my Nigerian team. I can remember being really, really little. I think we had made it to the finals. Not really little. Maybe I was like in middle school or something. And I just remember like my dad making us all wear like these T-shirts he had made, which is crazy. And he was
selling them. Your dad made your own T-shirts? Oh, my God. Love it.
Yeah. No, he made T-shirts and was selling them, but we didn't win. So we ended up having like 80 T-shirts that I'm sure still in the attic somewhere.
Bad investment.
Because he just knew if they won, those T-shirts would have been, you know, would have sold. But they didn't win, so here we are.
He gambled.
Yeah, he did. But yes, I just want to boost up Nigeria's World Cup. Nigeria's national soccer team. You know, you guys have played well. I don't know if they play again, but, you know, hopefully they will. And, yeah, that's it. That's my little boost for today.
Little boost. That's a good one. I kind of am on Team Argentina, so it's sad that they beat you. But yay, Argentina!
It's okay.
Only because I basically just am on the team of whoever, like whatever country I've been to that I like the most. And Argentina was the first country where I ever like watched soccer, so I have a little soft spot for them. But that's cool. I'm sure their uniforms are way uglier than Nigeria's, though.
This is true. Do we have any good questions?
We do have some questions. If you guys want to send us some questions, you can head to brownambitionpodcast.com. Got it this week.
I did.
Or you can send us an email directly at send us an email directly at brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com.
You just did it again. At.
What did I do? Well, I had to say that time that at meant like AT at, not like,
oh, yeah, yes. You know, bad.
Like
sorry.
It was a necessary at, necessary preposition. Is that a preposition? All right, whatever. Good question. We have a couple good questions. One comes from listener Kamiko. What a pretty, pretty name. She says, oh, this is really funny. She says, I am 2 seconds. I guess we missed her then. She said, I'm 2 seconds away from taking out a personal loan with SoFi. I went to Magnify Money. Oh, hi, thank you. And used the personal loan comparison chart and then went a step further to do some comparisons based on the answers to my questions. So we have a personal loan comparison chart where you can put in basically how much debt you have and then what type of loan you could take out and how much you would save if you consolidated your debt with a new loan. So she used this calculator. Cool. So her math said that she can take out a $20,000 loan at this is a SoFi loan, $20,000 with SoFi at 8.75% APR for 3 years, leaving her with just one monthly payment of about $600. Her plan is to use that $20,000 loan to pay off several debts, including a couple of credit cards, her auto loan, and a personal loan. On a monthly basis, this would save her $400. And over the course of 3 years, she would save over $14,000.
What?
Yes. But she says she is hesitating. She says, why am I hesitating? I don't know what the issue is. So I thought this was interesting because it just shows like even when the math is showing you that the answer is right. And again, like at the end of the day, this is your decision. You have to make the decision that's best for you. But when the math speaks facts, one must listen. I think on paper, based on what you've told me, yes, it absolutely would make sense for you to consolidate. Those three types of debt she has, she says she wants to consolidate credit cards, a car note, and another personal loan. I mean, so long as those rates on those debts are higher than the 8.75% APR on this personal loan with SoFi, I can't think of a reason why not to.
Yes. And I mean, I get it because sometimes I get like that too when like you're struggling for so long and you find a solution that's like so amazing and you're like, wait. So there's like this hesitation and it kind of paralyzes you even though you know in your head, okay, this makes sense. So that's okay to feel like that. But girl, I want you to think maybe this will help. Before I come into any sort of like money or like savings or anything, I like to create the new budget before the money comes. So like, I'll go back to my budget, because I always keep it in like an Excel spreadsheet, so that way it's easy to fix. I go back to into my budget and I do the new numbers. So that way, by the time that I'm able to like that new 400, it's not reabsorbed back into everyday life. It's already been allocated, because I'm working from this new budget that I created. So maybe do that. So that way you're like, okay, with this 400, maybe 200 will go to savings and whatever else you're going to do with it. But allocate that money out. So it's so easy for money to be reabsorbed back into your day-to-day life. So just create a new budget, allocate that $400 a month out into specific places, automate those allocations, and girl, get your coin.
In 3 years, you could have $14,000 saved.
Yes.
Like, that is real money we're talking. Maybe, you know what I think it might be too, is like when you have a little bit of debt here and a little bit of debt there and a little bit, you know, on different credit cards or loans or whatnot, it doesn't feel like that much. Mm-hmm. And maybe what's freaking her out is a $20,000 loan. Like, if that's how much her combined debts are.
Okay.
And maybe it's like this one new loan with $20,000. Maybe is what is making a little bit more real for her, but it doesn't change the fact that you already have that much debt. It's just that it's spread across different things. And there's maybe some kind of like psychological reason why it feels like more. But I
can see that.
SoFi wise, I mean, check out, I'll send you a link, but Magnify Money has a thorough review on SoFi's products. They started out big in student loan refinancing, and now they've gotten into all kinds of different products. They do mortgages now, like personal loans. I haven't heard anything to tell me that SoFi is not a good lender. I also know that they have, which is uncommon for private lenders, some protections. Like if you lose your job or you run into financial issues, they will tend to work with you. I think they even match borrowers to they'll try and help you find a new job if you lose your job. They have some sort of like career placement. I forget. I don't want to misrepresent what they offer, but some sort of career services if you lose your job, or if you fall in hard times, you can work with them. So they're willing to work with you versus traditional private lenders who'd be like, and where's my check?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, yeah. I think, first of all, I never heard that. That's awesome that SoFi does that, because most places don't. And so, yeah, I honestly, me too. I haven't really heard anything negative about SoFi. So, that's honestly awesome. It's rare that in finances that you get like a big win like that. It just doesn't happen. Usually you're like, yay, and I save $2 a month now. You're like, okay, you know? So when you can get a big win like that, definitely lean in, be grateful, and take advantage.
Yeah. I loved your tip too of actually saving that $400 versus just letting it get reabsorbed into your budget. That's really smart.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ms. Kimiko. Let us know what you decided. I know we missed you. We only had 2 seconds a few hours ago. We missed you, but hopefully you made a decision that you're happy with and you're on your way to debt freedom.
Yes.
All right. Next question. I believe this is an anonymous question. So mysterious. Okay.
Why so mysterious?
So mysterious. This is an anonymous sheet. I love I always want to know how people choose their pseudonyms. So this is from Janet, quote unquote. Janet says, I'm interested in knowing what your thoughts are on the idea of a parent or another adult establishing credit for a child. Is this necessary? And how young is too young to make a child an authorized user on a credit card? Did either of your parents start your credit history for you before you were able to start it on your own? What do you feel are the benefits or cons to starting to build a credit history for a young preteen child?
I don't know that you need to be a preteen child to start credit.
I don't think you can be an authorized user as a preteen.
I want to say that you can kind of start some sort of financial history as young as 16. I think, because I remember that's when I got my joint savings account with my dad. And I'm almost positive that, because back then you can literally put the cable in the baby's name, and you can't do that anymore. You can't do that anymore. And it's honestly not necessary. So my dad helped me to start my credit journey when I was 17. I was going away to college, and he was like, go ahead and get you a credit card. And I think he had put me on as an authorized user on one of his cards. And he schooled me on what kind of credit card to get. No annual fee, look for 0% percentage rate. I could put my books on it, and he would pay it off every month. I don't think you need to start sooner than 16, 17. Because like, what is your kid buying? You know, because the purpose of credit, like I say, like the really young and the really old don't need credit unless you are credit. The purpose of credit is to leverage so you can purchase things that you might not be able to purchase in cash. So if you're 80 and you're not trying to buy a car or a home, like, well, you know, your credit score is not that important necessarily because you're not also getting getting a new job. And if you're like 10, I mean, your credit score is not that important. So I would say around 16, 17 is you're going to start to establish credit early. But preteen, no, like Supergirl is 11 and I'm not thinking about her credit score until she gets to be like out of high school. And then we'll start to make adjustments.
Good call. Time for one more question?
Sure.
Another question from an anonymous listener. She says, "Hey ladies, I have a quick question about credit cards with annual fees. I currently have two credit cards with cashback rewards and want to open a third credit card specifically for travel rewards. Thanks to your previous podcast, I have been able to reduce my credit utilization by a drastic number by taking out a personal loan and paying off all my balances in full. I've been comparing offers for a new card, and of course, credit cards with the best rewards come with an annual fee. While I want to maximize my rewards, I don't like the idea of having to pay for a credit card. What are your thoughts on getting a credit card with an annual fee or just sticking with a free credit card with slightly lower rewards?" Anonymous.
What say you?
I'm going to reread this part, which is what caught my eye. I currently have two credit cards with cashback rewards and want to open a third credit card specifically for travel rewards. Then she says she recently was able to reduce her utilization on her credit cards by taking out a personal loan and paying off her balances in full. Where that personal loan at, though? Like, she doesn't say if she paid it off or not.
Okay.
And so my question was going to be, I would recommend paying off the personal loan. Because you say you paid your balance in full on your credit cards, and yes, you did that. They're paid in full, but you still have a new loan. And as long as you have that loan out there, I would say before you take out a new credit card and start worrying about racking up rewards to pay off that credit card, pay off that personal loan first.
Agreed. And also too, the other two credit cards also have annual fees.
Sounds like they're fee-free. She has two fee. There are fee-free cashback rewards cards out there. They typically have a lower flat rate cashback, but she wants one of these, like, you know, nice. Yeah, like the nice Chase Sapphire.
That's what I got, boo boo. Well, yeah. I'll say this, like, because honestly, that's the first credit card I ever had that had a fee, but it was worth it to me. So, you know, it's all about the numbers because I use that card for all of my travel. So one, you know. I make that money back. So that's the question, is if you're paying a fee, are you going to make that money back in the reward? So just today, for example, I have like 200,000 points because I use that card so often for travel and all of these things, like a bunch of travel stuff for my business. So if anybody on my team needs to travel, whatever, that's the card that we use. And so 200,000 points, my sister who really wants to come with me to Essence Fest, I was able to get, and flights are ridiculous right now because she went into the last minute to decide. And so we were able to get her a round trip flight with the points. I think it cost me like 70,000 points, which I'm like not happy about.
Ooh, you must love your sister.
I do. I know. And I was just like, you know what? Because normally it probably would have been around, honestly, 30,000 points. But it's because New Orleans is not that far from Jersey. But because it's Essence Fest time, you know, they hike the rates up. But I share all that to say that the amount, I think maybe a round trip flight right now is maybe like $1,400 or $1,500. So I was able to not have to pay that $1,400 because I had points that I'd earned. So I can't remember, Mandy, how much is our annual fee for?
So there's two versions. Let's make this broader than just a Chase card because so these luxury travel cards, the top luxury ones, they typically have fees of $450, which is what the Chase Reserve has, but they can be upwards of like $550 on some cards. The lower tier Chase Sapphire Preferred has a $95 annual fee, which is the one
I think that's mine.
Chase Preferred. Okay. Yeah.
I think that might be the one I have because I'm like $450. I don't know if I pay $450. But you see, the math works out. I get, you know, I use enough points to get a few thousand dollars in free perks that are usable perks. So it's worth that payoff. So you just have to ask yourself, like, you know, does it make sense, like, are you going to use a card enough to outweigh what you're paying for it? And if not, then it doesn't make sense. You might as well just get a, you know, travel card where it's not going to charge you, you know, to have it.
Yeah.
So to me, it's all about the math.
Do the math and pick a card that fits your lifestyle. Like, if you're really looking for a travel card because you travel, but be honest, like, how much do you travel, and do an estimate of how much travel you have coming up. And some cards give you, like the Chase card and other, some other cards, the Uber has a new credit card. They give you points, not just on travel, but also dining out, entertainment. So they're really like trying to match lifestyles. So pick the card that fits your lifestyle best. But at the end of the day, don't take out a card just because, or don't rack up stuff because you'll get addicted to the idea of earning points. Because if you can't pay your card off at the end of the month, like, I guarantee you, it's never going to be worth it. If you're carrying a balance.
That's a good one. Oh, look at that. That's a good one.
Yes.
Sorry. That was me in church. Like, yes, Ned, yes.
I was like, oh, I said something smart. Ooh, okay.
No, it was because I was, you know, I don't think about that. Like, you're right. If you're not paying it off every month in full, then it's like, ooh, child, like, you're just paying on paying on paying. So that's a good one.
Nope. Because they're hitting you with a fee up front, and then they're going to be charging you interest on top of that. Like, these cards still have high interest rates, even if you have great credit. Like, mine, I think, has a 17% interest rate. So if I ever let that slip, automatically, like, it won't be worth whatever I've, you know, gotten in terms of points and such. So be honest. And if you have a history of racking up credit card debt, you know, you needed a personal loan before, just recognize your weaknesses. Like, I know myself, and I know that I need to have a conversation and create my own mental credit limit that I can afford to pay off each month. Because I too, back in the day, would get obsessed about just getting points, 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 and whipping out that card anytime I had a reason to, and not paying attention to, like, how much I was actually racking up.
Okay.
No. Thank you for your question, ma'am. Those were good questions. Again, you guys can hit us up at brianambitionpodcast@gmail.com with your questions, or go to our website, brianambitionpodcast.com.
Yeah, those are great questions. And if you're going to be at Essence Fest, I hope to see you.
That's coming up. Is that like next? Wait, when is that?
That is not this weekend, but weekend after next. But, you know, it's never too early to prep for Essence Fest. It's just a good time of beautiful brownness. Like, it's truly, Essence Fest is like Brown Ambition personified. It's almost 500,000 women that came last year. I think 470,000 came last year. It's an awesome music festival, but it's just also like, I mean, it's NOLA, the food alone. Woo! The food alone. Just like, just because it's NOLA, not because it's Essence Fest.
It's always in New Orleans, right?
Yeah, always. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's going to be a good time. And so hopefully I'll see some of you Brown Ambition folks out here. I love it, Mandy, because more and more when I come out, people are like, oh my God, Brown Ambition, come in here to her. I'm like, look at Brown Ambition out here in these streets.
She never takes me anywhere, guys. I don't get to go anywhere fun. She doesn't want me to go. Honestly, I can't. I always think Essence Fest, oh, I should go. But it's always when you tell me this time of year, every year, 2 weeks before when it's too late. Tiffany, can I too have 70,000 points to book my flight, please?
That girl, she owes me her life. I was like, whatever I ask for, the answer is yes. Do you hear me, young lady?
Well, have a good
time. What are you doing this
weekend? Nothing that exciting. Actually, this is another reason Essence Fest messes me up, because I have a standing glamping vacation with my best friends every July. And I am like, first of all, if you have adult friends, everyone here is adults, but if you have friends at this age, like, it's really hard to get everyone together. But mm-hmm. I'm so proud of us, because even though one of us had one of our, the couples in our group had a kid in October, like, we're still doing this trip. Now, granted, it's really like gone downhill from camping. Like, now we just don't even camp anymore. It's like full on Airbnb. Like, there was a crisis because we didn't know if there was central air conditioning or not. And
I love it though.
So it's not quite camping anymore. Like, so, but the fact is, we still get together as a group of friends, and I don't want to be the one to mess up this trip. So maybe when Essence Fest is not 4th of July, maybe one day I'll make it work, but
that's literally like never.
All right, fine. We'll continue to represent. You should get some Brown Ambition business cards, like little contact sheets. No, that's dope. I can't wait to hear about it. You're probably speaking, right?
Yeah, I'm speaking on Friday and Saturday. So I'm speaking for Ford, and I'm speaking for Essence themselves. And so it should be a really good time. A good brown time.
Exciting.
right. Ooh, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna take some videos so people, when people say Mandy, I'm like, oh, you want to say hi to Mandy? Let's record so I can send it to you.
Yeah, give me FOMO. Yeah, definitely. Ooh, you should take over our Instagram account. That's what you should. That's what you should do.
Right, but I have to do my own Instagram.
Fine, just text me pictures and I'll post them.
There you go. God. All right.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.